This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Okay, thank you. Praise God. It is another beautiful day. One of the most remarkable things that I can put on the radio is this testimony, this story, as told by Dr. James Maloney in 2020. Now, he's talking about the events that happened while he was teaching at Christ for the Nations. I wish that everyone could hear this testimony today. So, here he is, the late Dr. James Maloney.
At Christ for the Nations, I taught on, for an entire semester, can you believe it, on the supernatural power of evangelism, signs and wonders, the healing ministry of Jesus. And throughout the whole classroom time, I would periodically stop and minister to the students. And then eventually, when there was enough foundation established in the life that I would have then to pray for one another, that's how you activate them. And then at the very end, I would have a healing service, and I was permitted to take, usually I had about 350 students when all the other pastors had 10. That made me real popular with the other professors. They gave me the whole day, basically, you know, from 8 in the morning to 1, you know, in the afternoon to whatever, to minister in healing. And I remember standing up there, and this word came to me. And the Lord said, call out everyone that has a deformity that they've had their entire lives, and this deformity has created such a wounding and a bruising and embarrassment. And I thought that was a very strange word of knowledge, but I was obedient. And approximately 32 students came forward. Now, when you looked at them physically, you could tell immediately what was wrong with them, because everything was outward and visible, and they'd spent a lifetime being embarrassed and ashamed and taunted. I know what it's like. I had my issues growing up as a kid. That's why I fought a lot in my upbringing, you see, because of the teasing. I've been so beaten profusely that there was a lot of, isn't that the irony? You know, when you're a kid, you got scars in your face. Now look at me now. It's just weird. I don't understand it. But so I began to go down the line. I had another minister with me. My son was with me, an assistant, and it was quite remarkable. The first person's left foot, was turned backwards, strangely, and they had to walk on crutches, and his foot shook. You heard snap, crackle, pop, and his foot swung back into place, and he began to run. Well, how many know that got the student's attention? Then there was another person whose chest cavity was to the right, strange, twisted. And, of course, that just wreaked havoc with the internal organs in his body. And so I had a minister friend of mine. He put his hand on his waist, both sides, and the whole chest, the diaphragm, just moved back into place. That really got the students excited. So we're going down the line. They're getting instantly healed. I mean, deformity upon deformity. I mean, just absolutely. Well, at the very last, there was a young lady, and she was a foreign student, I believe from Europe somewhere. And when you looked at her, your heart just went out to her, because the entire left side of her face was, she was born this way. Something happened in the womb. It was just horrific, like she had been in a horrible accident. And it was just all just torn up. And otherwise, she was a very beautiful young lady. She was about 17, 18 years of age. All her life, All she ever wanted to be was a mom and have children. But she just knew that no one will ever want to marry me. This is her testimony, looking this way. I mean, it was hard to look at her. It was very difficult to look at her. But my heart went out. But there was a great depth of anointing. But when I got to this young lady, it was intensified like a hundredfold. I can't describe it to you. The whole right side of my shoulder began to burn. It actually became uncomfortable. And when I reached, my hand was trembling. When I reached out to the side of her face, she pulled back. And I knew immediately that, you know, she was in more than just a physical healing. There was an emotional healing that needed, of course, to take place. So I reached out my hand a second time. When I did, God is my witness, no embellishment, I felt a person come up against my shoulder, place his shoulder and arm on top of mine, and reached over me, which, you know, in the natural is kind of freaky. You know what I mean? Somebody, you know, is invading my space. You know, and just, but then I looked, and here this person had a white robe, and I could see on the back where there was a hole. Ooh, please invade my space. And this is a whole teaching in and of itself. I won't go into it. So, I'm just, yes, invade my space. This is a whole nother message. And his hand laid on top of mine, and it went into my hand. My hand became his, or his hand became mine. It's not like my hand disappeared. He was using my hand. I really had nothing to do with it, but just having my hand there. And when he put his hand in mine, the cheekbone, and she was just graphically just maimed, just horribly distorted. I mean, just, oh, terrible. I don't know what it was. The bone structure in her cheekbone became like jelly. The bone, which is all deformed, just softened. And he, with my fingers, I'm just enjoying seeing him do it, outshining through me. And he began to massage that side of her face. And my fingers with his went into her face. The skin partially overlapped my fingers. And for 5 minutes, he just, like a master potterer, you know, Jeremiah 18, you know, the master potterer will take that marred piece of clay and mold it after his design and purpose, and he just began to massage her face. You talk about the depth of glory. All the students begin to sob. And their eyes were on this young lady they knew. And then after about 5 minutes, he pulled his hand away, and as my fingers were literally pulled out of her face, her cheekbone hardened, and the jawbone here hardened instantaneously. And I looked at her, and you could not find one trace of deformity. And he stayed, and he went around me and got in front of me. And the young lady felt, listen to this, she felt the side of her face. And she began to shake. And then she fell on her knees. And I never heard such a gut-wrenching, just crying and wailing out in a And I mean, all the hurt, all the wounds, everything. She began to sob, and my eyes were not the only one that was open to this. Jesus was leaning over her. Now, you know, I should have just stayed away, you know, because this was a personal time that she was having with the Lord. But, you know, I'm nosy, so I had to kind of get in there. And, you know, I got, and the Lord permitted me. And this is what she said in her great sobbing. She said, Jesus, and I hope this will encourage many of you, you know, that you're walking out your healing or your miracle. There are times, like my associate said, yes, there's instantaneous, and then there's progressive operations of the Holy Spirit. She said this. She said, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I have been asking for this miracle since I was 5 years of age. And that was the perfect timing for her to be healed, because it was life-changing. Don't you think the lame man at the gate called beautiful? Don't you think Jesus passed by him quite a few hundred times? But it wasn't until Peter and John, as they passed by, he was healed, because it was the perfect timing. And that, of course, we all know that miracle opened up a tremendous move of the Spirit. And I'll elaborate on it in just a few moments. And that young lady, she was so beautiful. Hallelujah. And I'm sure the best mom in the whole world. That's what she felt her calling was, to just be a mom, and she never thought she would be. That's neat, isn't it? So it wasn't just the healing and the miracle that inspired not only myself, gave me a tremendous lesson in faith. Everyone else, their eyes were open. This young lady was dramatically, her life was transformed. The impact of those miracles, particularly hers, in the lives of those young men and women, what they are accomplishing today, in their respective lives and sphere of influence, if it's quote-unquote full-time ministry or in the business workplace. See, it is, if there's anything I can admonish you in, it is the Father's, hear this everyone, come on, worship Him, intense desire. Go ahead and say amen in advance. That humankind should fellowship with Him as He wills and directs in a very supernatural, dynamic way. I love the word supernatural or the supernatural realm, because it means that which is above the norm. That's God's realm, isn't it? And we've got to have fellowship. We've got to have encounters, spirit to spirit. And it's His desire to release this realm. And it's the realm it should be of every believer. Because, you know, inert in you or born within you is the desire. You crave, listen, you and I, all humankind, they crave a touch of the supernatural. It's born within them. Did you hear that? Even though they are unsaved, they don't know Christ, there's something in them that longs to want to get in contact with something beyond, perfectly, themselves and touch the reality of who God is. Because God has embedded within them the curiosity for the miraculous, the supernatural. Sadly, the enemy has come in and thwarted that. And so, you know, they have this curiosity, but they go into incorrect, you know, realms. And we know, you know, this is the life that we live. But if you and I will just honor the Holy Spirit, you know what will happen? The supernatural that will be impressed upon us, it really will attract people. It will attract people, and it inspires people and inspires our faith. But you know, when human reasoning takes over, come on now, that's the problem in the church today. It's all head-driven, mind-driven. I'm not against having a strong mind, but it needs to be in subjection to our spirit man, where the Holy Spirit lives. And it needs to be continually renewed as you've all been taught. But if reasoning, and this is the problem, has taken over, you know what's going to happen? And this is what's happened. Christianity will lose its vitality, its romance, its attraction to people, its fascination. It'll lose its fruitfulness. But I want to encourage you, if you were here this weekend, that the voice of the supernatural is being heard once again in our midst. And when I had the angelic encounter, this is what the angel told me 2 days after I was here, March 11th, 2017. He said, there will be an acceleration in the supernatural, and there will be a people that will walk in kingship anointing. In the Old Testament, the prophet was anointed to proclaim the word of the Lord. The priest was anointed to offer sacrifices on behalf of God's people. But the king was anointed to rule and to reign. And Revelation 1:6 says, we've all been called to be kings and priests. And in the measure that you minister unto the Lord as a priest and to one another is in the measure that you will rule and reign. And what's amazing, starting 2020, and there's an acceleration. This is what the angel said, acceleration in these things. Everything's being sped up. So the season or time that you've heard prophetically or envisioned where just great mass miracles will just break out spontaneously, let me tell you, it's sooner rather than later. I know it. Hallelujah. But right now, I'm, as a forerunner, proclaiming that and hopefully preparing your hearts for that appointed time. Now, God is always moving. How many know that? In an appointed time, in a great season, or out of season, you know, whatever. God's always moving. Praise God. But there are appointed times of harvest. We are being prepared for that. And it's coming sooner rather than later. I've got to just utterly depend upon the Holy Spirit to burn this upon the canvas of your heart that listen, the days of disappointment, discouragement, and disillusionment are coming to an end. And this is what I want to admonish you in. If we will just familiarize ourselves and really press in with the Word and the Spirit. Amen. It's always the Word and the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit. If you just teach about, you know, supernaturalism without the Word, how many know people can get fanatical and excessive? But if you just teach on the Word, the letter of the Word, and there's no moving of the Spirit, how many know we can just remain bound up? You know, it's all just the letter of the Word, you know. And they said, I'll never forget, one this main spokesperson stood up and said, you know, the problem with you, Dr. Maloney, is that this is the problem with you and your ministry. I thought, the gall. He said, the problem with you and your ministry is all you want to do is see results. Now, if there's a spirit of stupid in the world, it was in manifestation. So I just was stunned. I said, define for me results. Well, all you want to do, they were just so pious. They were just arrogant and gross and head-driven and everything, you know. Well, all you want to do is see people saved and healed and delivered. What else is there, you know? And then they had the gall to say this. We've matured beyond that. Well, that kind of ticked me off. So I said, no, you've really died. And then they'd throw the scripture at me. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, Melania, it says everything needs to be done decently and in order. And in your ministry, everything is out of order and is indecent, decently, and in order. So, this just came out. I said, you know the problem with you gentlemen? They said, whoa. I said, you forgot the most important part of that verse.
What's that?
Let all things be done. You know, it's like when you just teach, let all things be done decently in order, restraint, for something to be ordered. And if you just teach restraint, you're just going to have a bunch of folks that are going to be bound up. They're going to be frustrated. They're going to be afraid to step out in faith and to be used. I'm not advocating wildfire, but what I'm trying to tell you is this. There's too many pastors that they don't want to have to shepherd the supernatural because it's too risky, it's too difficult. Let's just keep everybody in the comfort zone. Hello. Stay in the comfort zone. And what it does is it inoculates people into experiencing the true manifestation of God. And you know what it does? It causes people to remain dumb. I believe there's a deaf, dumb, and blind spirit, generational spirit, that's religious and it's just anti-Christ and it doesn't want you to get activated and released and freed up in the flow of the Spirit because we're afraid. And they always take the scripture out of context. I'm not going to quote it because I will miss it. Try 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul is admonishing, you know, if all of you just speak in tongues and someone that's unlearned comes in the back, they're going to think you're nuts. So immediately the theologians say it's incorrect to speak out loud in tongues in the public assembly or sing in the spirit because they're going to be, you know, thinking you're crazy. Yes. In my 47 years, 48 years of being involved, I've been in this since I was 17, I have yet to see any unsaved person get offended by a true manifestation of the Holy Spirit. If it was glossolalia or another gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I have seen Pharisees get offended. But, you know, a lot will come out in the back and say, these people are nuts. Paul, you got to read the proper context. He wasn't saying it was wrong to sing in tongues, pray out loud in tongues, but he did say this. He said, you know, you can't just stop there because there's going to be unlearned people. So you know what he's saying? I hope that you get so released and activated and free in the Holy Spirit that you can move beyond just speaking in tongues and move into the realm of word of knowledge and word of wisdom so that this unsaved person in the back that thinks all of you are crazy, there will be people that will have the authority and boldness to go up to those people and reveal the thoughts and the intents of their hearts. And then at that time, then they will fall down on their knees and say, truly God is in this place. We've got to get the spirit of prophecy moving on us. Because that's where the testimony of Jesus is. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is in the spirit of prophecy. I'm assured of that, Revelation 19:10. We become spectators. We get all caught up in trying to figure things out when we're just missing the reality of extending the kingdom of God to the people in front of you. It's not that difficult. Jesus personally, face to face, told me to tell you, you set the example, Jim. This is your ministry. You minister exactly the way I ministered. Every person that stood in front of me was the most important person to me in my ministry. And I simply healed them. Then the next person, he wasn't concerned about Rome toppling the empire. He was concerned about people's welfare, their bodies and their spirit. He was concerned about people's welfare, their bodies and their spirit.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.